Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. At 51551, wash your hands. Now, the movie is called Wild Mountain Thyme. It's everyone is talking about it, even though we've only seen the trailer. It was originally based on a Broadway play. If you've seen it, please let us know, called Outside Mullingar. And the reason is it's a blockbuster, big budget Hollywood movie with Emily Blunt, superstar Christopher Walken. I think that's the first time, if he came to Ireland, that's the first time he's ever been in Ireland or ever filmed in Ireland. Jamie Dornan, our own Jamie from South Belfast. John Hamm, him of Mad Men and many other movies. And Emily Blunt, Emily's from London, isn't she? And people are using the comparison, especially with the Irish accent, that it's as bad as Brad Pitt's accent in Devil's Own. Do you remember Devil's Own? That was filmed in Dublin, filmed and America. And a lot of it was filmed in Inchicore, where they blew up Inchicore, basically. It was a British Army IRA gun battle, and I don't know whether they did any improvements to the village of Inchicore, but they blew up Inchicore. Brad Pitt, Sean Bean in the Patriot Games, people are saying. Kevin Spacey, who played the general in Ordinary Decent Criminal. John Voight played in another one. Didn't he play Jerry O'Carroll, the detective? John Voight, who currently is all over YouTube and TikTok and Twitter, saying that Trump is the saviour, the messiah, and every Joe Biden is Satan. Tom Cruise in Far and Away, that was Temple Bar in Dublin. Nicole Kidman was in that as well. And that helped Dingle after, that's before Fungi came, but so did Ryan's daughter. Helped Dingle long before Fungi came. Sean Connery, we read about that recent, his accent recently, even though he got an Oscar for it, in The Untouchable. Julia Roberts as Kitty Kiernan and Michael Collins. And was it Gerard Butler in P.S. I Love You? But this movie, which looks extraordinarily well made in terms of cinematography, is attracting a lot of attention because of this type of accent.
Anthony will never marry.
If it comes to that, I'll freeze my eggs.
You should freeze your whole body if you're waiting for that one.
Will you call a seagull?
Have you ever had a dream since you were a child and you couldn't let it go?
So you put this gate between us.
Has your dream made you happy or miserable?
You kissed him!
It was he that kissed me!
That's what's got him worked up!
I don't understand you people. Why do you make everything so hard? Just seem to accept these crazy things.
I don't like a fight.
Well, who does?
Half of Ireland, just not me.
If my true love...
Jim Sheridan, good afternoon. A director of some fantastic films and more to come, we hope, Jim. Have you seen or heard, listened to, seen the trailer, Jim?
I just saw a bit of the trailer. All right, Jim.
And what do you think?
The voice is over it. It's terrible. You know, it's fake Irish, obviously, you know. Yeah. But, so what's wrong? It's just John Patrick Shandy from New York trying to be Irish. Is that so big a crime? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's after, as we'll discover, Jim, it's brought a lot of work to cross Malina in County Mayo, which a lot of people are grateful for. And they think, like Alan Maloney. Alan, good afternoon. You there, Alan? Where's Alan gone? You there, Alan?
I'm here, yeah.
Good man, Alan. Alan, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Good afternoon to you and all your listeners.
Good, and likewise, Mount Falcon Estate in Ballina, where Jamie Dornan, John Hamm, Emily Blunt, Christopher Walken, they all stayed there while they were filming Wild Mountain Thyme.
They did, Joe. They kindly paid us a visit here last autumn.
Well, tell us the procedure. How did they pick your place?
To be honest, I don't know. My suspicion is, because one of the producers was our own Martina Nyland, who I understand is from Westport originally. I know she was a key catalyst in it. I know that because I met Martina here and I met some of the other producers. And obviously John Shanley and Stephen Goldblatt, who was the cinematographer. So I suspect she had something to do with it. But the bulk of the filming, I understand, is done in a farm, a gorgeous house, a farm outside Cross Malina, which is owned by the Connors family.
Yes.
And most of the filming was done there. So they were looking for a base And obviously, they selected our facility here, which we were very grateful for, obviously. So the entire team, the production team, the producers and all the cast stayed here various durations. John Shanley and Stephen Goldblatt were here for the longest. They were here for about 3 months in its entirety. And then the various cast members that came and stayed here from mixed durations from 3 weeks to 8 or 9 weeks. And we got to know them very well. They became part of the family here, I think. And certainly all the feedback we got from them, they certainly enjoy their stay here. Not only in Mount Falcon, but the whole region here.
And when was all this filmed, Alan?
The bulk of it was done last end of September and October into the first 2 weeks of November last year.
Okay. And you say Neffin Mountain in the background, that plays a big role, apparently. The scenery, even from the trailer, the scenery is fantastic. You don't know where they got the accents from, Alan. You weren't teaching them, were you? What were you feeding them? What were you feeding them?
I plead the Fifth Amendment and make no comment on the accents. I leave that up to the experts.
Now, I'll come back to you in a sec because there's a great coincidence in the week, the dinner, because you also hosted President-elect Joe Biden relatively recently. Week. Stay there, Alan. We'll get that story off you in a sec. Billy Connor just mentioned there. Billy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Evening, Joe.
How are you?
Well, I'm actually sitting here on Christopher Walken's chair looking out of the rain.
Ah. And who taught Christopher his accent?
Well, I don't know. I suppose, Joe, it's probably geared towards the American market, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's how the Americans think we talk over here.
Let's hear another clip of it then. Let's hear another clip of the accents in Wild Mountain Thyme.
You take after John Kelly, and that man was mad as the full moon, drowned himself.
He fell in.
He had a rock tied to his neck.
Oh, that's a brilliant Christopher Walken. What was he like?
He was a very nice man. He looks better in the actual movie than he was here because, you know, he's in his 70s, but to me he comes out across the movie very, very well, you know?
And what was he like in real life, as they say?
Because
he is a superstar. Oscar's
He would arrive here in the morning by taxi and he'd do whatever sort of acting he had to do. And when he did finish then, he'd go back to Mount Falcon again straight away.
And what did he do in Mount Falcon, Alan, Christopher Walken, who we all know, especially from difficult roles, tough roles?
He enjoyed his stay here. He was a wonderful one. I mean, you know, to meet a legend like him, because that's the only way you can describe something like Christopher Walken, an absolute legend. And all I can say about all of them, every single one of them took time to say hello to anybody else that was here who cared to meet them. And I can specifically comment that Christopher Walken himself, I remember one evening here, there was a lot of people that obviously heard he was in the area and staying here, and they specifically were bent on meeting him. And he took the time, as they all did, to pose for photographs, sign signatures. You know, they just became part of the family here. And what they really appreciated in the region was that people effectively left them to their own.
Yeah,
I mean,
which is a great thing
about Ireland, you know, the lifestyles that they live in places, they get hounded. And after it's something they really appreciated when they were here in the West of Ireland, that they all commented to me. And everybody was fantastic around the area. And so they were very welcome.
You sent us a photograph. It's your wife, Eileen, isn't it, with your children?
That's Eileen. Evelyn.
Evelyn. Evelyn, people know from T.G. Carr and a lot more besides. But she's with Jamie Dornan and John Hamm.
John Hamm, yeah.
He's a bit of a ham. Is he a bit of crack?
Well, put it away, I better not comment in that regard, but put it away, they were very popular with all of the ladies here who wanted to meet them, put it that way. But yeah, they were here for a couple of weeks, and their respective families, those that had family, like Jamie's family and Emily's family, they came here periodically and stayed here as well. So we got to know all the families and our kids played together.
So how many days were they actually filming there?
Well, to be honest, I'm not exactly sure, but three of the scenes, for example, in the movie were actually filmed here on the estate in Mount Falcon. The bulk of the filming, I understand, was done at the Connors Farm.
And Billy, how many days were they on your farm, Billy?
They were here for 18 days.
Okay,
well, the actual filming, but they were here then, we'll say, for the month of September, getting the place ready, and they started filming the 1st of October.
But the 18 days would have been when the superstars were on board.
Yeah, we had them here for 18 days.
Okay, well, that's a pretty intense shoot, is it?
Sounds like it was. We had an absolutely fantastic time now, you know, we really had. I tell you, Joe, myself and Deirdre, we were coming off the Arden Islands and we got a call to say that there was a locations manager in the area, you know, and we'd be sending away some photographs to him, and that's what we did. And then he arrived 2 days later and took his own photographs and sent them on then to John Patrick Shanley. And he obviously liked what he'd seen. And he then arrived 2 weeks later with himself, Steve Goldblatt, and two assistants.
And Maria, who's living in your house, Billy? Is Christopher Walken? Is Jamie Dornan the son?
Yeah, they're living in our house.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And John Hamm is the interloper from America, comes over to try
he's
and steal.
He's the cousin. He's the cousin. From America,
cousin,
yeah.
A cousin. He comes in the Rolls Royce.
He does, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the Tom, what's his name? Tom Berenger. Is that his name that was in the field? Who came in? Yeah. It wasn't
yeah,
Tom
yeah, Selleck.
No,
same type of thing. Yeah,
okay,
thing,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. More accents, please. More accents. Here we go.
How many days do we have while the sun shines?
It's not shining.
I believe that it is.
That's Emily and Jamie. How many days do we have? Where's Stephen Devine? 51551, wash your hands. Wash your mouth out with Irish accent. Stephen.
How you, Joe?
You. What are you saying? You find it hard to figure out what's going on?
Well, I have to say, Joe, for an Irishman, Jamie Doran has one of the worst Irish accents I've ever heard.
Say that again.
It's pretty bad, and I'm not outraged or anything like that.
No,
Joe,
don't
I'm just
be,
disappointed
no.
that we're still being portrayed as backward country folk. You know, there's so much more going on in Ireland these days, and I understand it's made for an American market, but
yeah, it's very Maureen O'Hara, isn't it, John Wayne?
Oh, it's shocking, Joe.
It's
yeah,
a quiet
really
man.
Is.
And what year was that? The 60s? What decade even? The 60s? Which is, 50, yeah. 60 years ago? 60
yeah.
years ago. And that's your point. You've seen the trailer and Ireland looks incredible. Or the Cross Malina and...
Oh, listen, the pictures are fantastic. Yeah. It's just the portrayal of the way Irish people live today.
Have you seen any of the great Irish movies of old, Far and Away?
Oh, that was shocking, Joe, yeah. I don't think it's as bad as that now, but Tom Cruise is pretty bad in that now.
The accent.
Darby O'Gill, yippee-dee-oh-yay.
And but at least Darby O'Gill had Jimmy O'Dea and Irish actors in it. Is there any Irish actors in Wild Mountain Thyme?
There is. This Don Wycherly is in it. So
oh, Don Wycherly?
Yeah.
Oh, he's brilliant. And, he's a brilliant actor.
Well, I think this Siobhan Malloy, she's in it as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was a young lad came down from Love Hate. He was in it, but of course there was an awful lot of local actors in it as well. So there was
great. And tell us about that, Billy. The local work.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you say they came here to us,
yeah,
and we then had to put them up and we organised things.
Yeah.
And when they came.
Okay, your line is breaking up on me there. Let me go to Eamon. Eamon Moore. I'll come back to Billy and Alan in a sec. Eamon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You own the pub in Cross Malina.
I have a pub rented there, yes, in Cross Malina.
And did it get into the movie?
Yeah, well, there's a laneway
okay.
across from the back door of the pub where they actually filmed one of the scenes there where they were coming down the laneway.
Right.
But I suppose the Wild Mountain Thyme is like the gift that keeps giving. It's a blockbuster that was filmed there a year ago, and now we're discussing it on the Joe Duffy Show.
Great, yeah, great.
Well, can it get any better?
And you're hoping it'll do wonders for Cross Malina.
Well, I think if Jamie Dornan and Emily Blunt does as much as John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara did for Mayo, I think it's going to be huge.
And she is very like Maureen O'Hara in that character, isn't she? Fiery and feisty and... Can't make up her mind. But Eamon, do you know from watching them making the movie? Can you know from watching them making the movie? Like, were they being serious with the accents, or is it pastiche? Is it deliberately meant to be?
Well, I say the accent that they're doing is deliberate. It's geared at an American market, and I suppose from people in America listen to this. They might have that perception that we're like that. Anybody that would look at the scenes and even of the trailers with Nathan in the background and along the coast, that has to be huge
for the
Irish market with Americans coming home. But there was a film, when they were doing the scene outside the pub, somebody was asking Emily, had she ever pulled a pint of Guinness?
Ah.
and
has to be done.
We got Emily in behind the counter, and it got something like 50,000 views.
And that was back in the day when you could pull a pint of Guinness.
Yeah.
That was a different world, you're right. Alan Maloney, you mentioned that Joe Biden, president-elect, stayed with you as well.
He did, Joe, he did.
Well, I'm more interested in that. Tell me about that.
Well, it was a family visit, transferred during the summer of 2016.
And he was vice president.
Oh, he was. Yes, he was vice president at the time. And he was effectively, from what I understand, it was a private capacity, a family trip. And he was coming back to, obviously, touch base and research his family roots, which, as you know, emanate from Ballinaigh. So the entire family stayed here. They were here for a couple of days, used it as a base, effectively. He had a very, notwithstanding it was a family visit, he had a fairly hectic itinerary.
He was all over the country. Dublin Castle, he gave a speech. College, Carlingford, Orison-Nuachtarán, the Taoiseach, Endicott, the whole nine yards he did. But tell us, what was Joe Biden like?
A consummate gentleman is the only way I can describe him to you, Joe. And I have to say, a very decent man. That's the way he came across to everybody here. Again, ordinary, a time for everybody here. His extended family were here. So a lot of the grandchildren were here. It was a family visit. So they were here. And while his itinerary was so busy, we put on some of the activities for his grandchildren here. Like they were fishing here and they were doing the falconry here. And he just really appreciated that. I spent a day with him down below and the whole family were there. And he said to me, he just acknowledged that notwithstanding it was a family trip, with the itinerary being as hectic as it was just, he really appreciated the effort that everybody went to so that the family could spend some time together and enjoy themselves.
Super.
And I mean, as everybody probably knows at this stage, he's so much tragedy in his own private life, those that are close to him, his family, the people he loves most are the closest to them. And that was very, very apparent to all of us here when they were here,
And it was very apparent the other night when they all appeared, including his grandchildren, were on the stage with. And what are Joe's hobbies when he was on his downtime?
Well, yeah, that was the point, because there's a question I had with him, because his itinerary is so hectic, he didn't get time. But I can tell you, he's an avid golfer and he's an avid fisherman. And that was a conversation that I ended up having with him, because, as you know, apart from the spectacular topography that is obviously highlighted in the movie you're referring to, Wild Mountain Time, the whole region here is blessed with the most extraordinary facilities. And obviously, fishing and golf is a big one, and particularly links golf. We've got Enniscrone, 15 minutes from here. We've Cairn, less than an hour drive near Belmullet. We've Ross's Point in County Sligo. And I was telling Vice President Biden at the time, because he's an avid golfer, and he and his son Hunter are big, and excuse the pun on his name, but they're big into fishing and shooting and hunting as well. So in the discussion I had with him, he promised me he'd return. He was going to bring Hunter, and he was going to bring Barack Obama with him. And that's the promise that he made me. And since he was elected president-elect in the U.S., we've conveyed and reiterated that commitment, and hopefully he'll return in due course
he said, "Try stop me." When Taoiseach said to him yesterday on the phone call, "You're welcome. I want to officially invite you back to Ireland." And he said, "Try stop me." Now, obviously, he's going to be busy for the next couple of years, to say the least, out there. Alan, by the way, he was VP, and I remember Dublin was shut down. It was a Friday afternoon. Dublin was gridlocked because Joe Biden was going from Trinity to Dublin Castle to make a speech. But the whole city shut down. What was security like down your place?
Yeah, I mean, notwithstanding it was a private family visit, they're obviously, and with that, and given his responsibilities, even at that time, obviously, there was considerable, there was an entourage that obviously came in advance, obviously. There was some infrastructure and equipment, but in conjunction with the embassy in Dublin, everything went very smoothly.
So when did it was brilliant, obviously, but when did the Secret Service arrive?
From what I can recall, they came in a couple of weeks in advance, effectively, to satisfy themselves in terms of the entire property. I mean, the estate extends to 100 acres, so it's quite significant in size, but obviously it's entirely enveloped in the most spectacular mature woodland, so it's enclosed. It has access from the main N26, so from a security point of view, it met all that criteria.
Okay.
So they would have come in 2 or 3 weeks in advance. And slowly but surely, they were building up. Obviously, they had to bring in a lot of equipment, obviously, to facilitate a stay here, et cetera.
And what would that be? Communications equipment?
From what we understand, some of the equipment was flown into Knock Airport here. God forbid, but had anything happened in the interim, obviously he had to be in a position where he could fulfill his responsibilities, which on a global scale are quite considerable, you can appreciate.
Okay,
so there was a certain amount of infrastructure that had to be set up, et cetera, while he was here. But so they would have come in a couple of weeks in advance and just satisfied themselves. But other than that, as I said, there was a presence here, but it wasn't that imposing, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you know, they were just a wonderful family to look after, and they really appreciated the effort that everybody made in the area. And I have to say, the time he spent with people in the area mm-hmm. was just something extraordinary. I observed him myself. He had time for everybody. He's just an absolute gentleman, you know.
You see, what people forget about is the totality of his Irishness. I don't know who was saying the other night, I think it was Micheál Martin, the most Irish, insofar as it means anything in this day and age, but the most Irish president we've had since John F. Kennedy in terms of ancestry. Yeah. But I remember in 2008, I was lucky enough to be in Washington when Obama and Joe Biden were inaugurated for the first term. And a gang of us managed to blag our way into one of these inaugural balls. There's many of them on around Washington. But the highlight of each inaugural ball is that the president and the first lady appear and they dance, and Joe Biden and Jill appear. They arrived first and they danced. And the song they danced to, you pick one song at every inaugural ball that night, was Van Morrison's Have I Told You Lately That I Love You. That was Joe Biden's choice. I can't remember what Barack Obama's one. This is any more? Okay, Far and Away, people are nominating Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman accents.
Tell me you like my hat.
You're not wearing a hat.
Say it. Say you like my hat.
You're not wearing a hat.
Say it.
I'm trying to work out who's who in that. Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise. But Alan, you expect... Well, by the way, Alan, how are you managing in the pandemic?
Look, just like everybody else, you just got to grin and bear it. We're closed at the moment.
Okay.
For the second time, again, like most establishments in the hospitality industry, unfortunately. So we're closed. Most of our staff are furloughed, unfortunately. But we have a crew here that are minding the property, protecting. We're working hard, getting ready for hopefully what will be a more positive 2021.
Okay, let me go back to Billy Connor in Cross Malina, whose house will be a place of pilgrimage for fans of Jamie Dornan and Christopher Walken and Emily Blunt and John Hamm. And our own brilliant Barry McGovern is in it as well, and our own brilliant Don Witcherly is in it as well, and our own brilliant Dermot Malloy is in it. Billy Connor, I mentioned to Alan about Joe Biden, the setup. What was this? Did they build a set near you, or they just simply used your house?
Well, what they did, Joe, was they built a set of a kitchen at the back of our house in our courtyard.
Okay.
But they used our house then. They used our sitting room, and they used our bedroom, and they used the hall on the way into the house. And they also used all the farm buildings down the yard as well.
Oh, that's great. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And so, so when did the set builders arrive, so to speak?
The set builders arrived in the middle of September, and there were actually a couple of lads from Dublin.
Great.
And I was milking that morning, and I came out and met these guys, and they said who they were. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, these guys are from Dublin. We're playing them next weekend in the All Ireland. We've lost three All Irelands to them already. How am I going to cope with this? But anyway, I have to say, they were the nicest guys you could ever, ever come across.
Okay.
Very, very nice guys.
Orla is dialing us on 1850-715-815. Orla, you're a massive Jamie Dornan fan. But
hi, Joe.
But what do you think of Jamie's accent?
Oh, it's shocking. It really is.
But he's only from 100 miles up the road.
That's
across
all,
the
just
country.
Up the road, yeah. No,
but
I was really hoping for much better now, to be honest with you.
And it does it dilute your... Can we hear Jamie? There's Jamie's accent again, just to get you going, Arla.
There's these green fields, and there's us. Whatever that is, it holds me here.
Ah, no, I think they're having us on. I think it's a pastiche. I really do. Oh, anyway, it doesn't... What do you love about Jamie?
Oh, what's not to love?
And did you know he was down there?
I sure did.
Oh, talk to Joe. Tell us what happened. Did you sneak up? Did you get your binoculars?
I tried a lot of different approaches, Joe.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, nothing worked for me. I went to Mount Falcon a few different evenings in the hope that I might have met him.
Yeah.
And I walked around the ground discreetly, of course.
Yes.
But
and what would you have said to him if you'd met him? You must have something prepared.
I had nothing prepared. it was going to be spontaneous.
You were saying, like, Jamie, I love your work, or Jamie, thanks for.
Well, something along those lines.
Did he? Who made 39 Shades of Grey? Was that Jamie?
It was.
Was he any good in that movie?
Oh, not bad, not bad.
And what was his accent? Or did he have to use his accent in that movie? What was his accent like in the movie?
It was kind of an American accent.
Okay.
But no, he did other movies, and they were brilliant, like Jade of Bill. And
yeah, someone said his Italian. He did an Italian movie, or in a movie with an Italian in it, and his accent was brilliant.
Yeah,
he's from Belfast, and he can't do a Mayo accent.
That looks to be the case.
And Arla, would you have given him a few lessons?
I would have personally coached him if I'd been approached. No bother at all.
And you would have walked down his throat and his gutturals and his.
Definitely.
Yes.
he'd have had the best Mayo accent if I had been approached.
Come here, tell me how the nearest I've been to Neffin is Crowpatrick and Harry Feeney's painting, wonderful painting venue in Foxford. But it's not pronounced Neffin, is it? It is up in Dublin. There's Neffin Road and various parts of Dublin.
Yeah, well,
Neffin.
Neffin.
Neffin. And you would have said to Jamie, call it Neffin. Jamie, come here to me, Jamie.
So we're hoping.
You know what you need to improve. Let me whisper into your ear, Jamie, and I'll tell you how to improve your Mayo accent. And there's our other mooching up to him. Oh, God, what's the aftershave, Jamie? And Jamie says, you're about on the farm all day and night.
Do you think of his accent?
Oh, it's fantastic. I can't even do my own accent at this stage. Well, the best compliment I ever got about my accent came from my mother. And it was, she said to me, now it's 10 years ago, said she's coming down the stairs on Friday night, late show is on, and she hears what she thinks is me on the late show. And she says to herself, what's my Joseph doing on the late show? And she went into the front room, and it was the great Jim Sheridan that was on the late show, not her son at all. She doesn't even know what I sound like anymore. But when you think, Orla, when you think of try to stop thinking about Jamie for a sec. But when you think of, say, Daisy Edgar Jones and the Sligo accent.
Yeah.
She did a brilliant job.
She did a perfect job.
And have we any idea, Alan Maloney or Billy Connor, have we any idea who I presume they had an accent coach, a dialogue. Well, a dialogue coach is kind of different, I presume, to an accent coach.
Well, I doubt they had, Joe. But look at I suppose it is geared towards the American market.
Yeah.
And as far as the Americans are concerned, that's how we talk here in Ireland. You mentioned the Mayo accent. Like, I suppose the Mayo accent will be kind of the same as Sligo accent or the Roscommon accent or Galway accent, you know?
And has Enda Kenny got a Mayo accent? Like, who's got the more Mayo? Is it Enda Kenny or Michael Ring? Who has the best Mayo accent? The closest? Or Pádraig Flynn?
I'd say probably Michael Ring, I'd say.
Michael Ring, yeah. Well, that's...
Yeah.
He's
what's called a down to earth Mayo man.
Yeah. So, Orly, you didn't get to see. You should have phoned Alan and said, well, Alan has to do his job as well. I presume part of the deal, especially with Joe Biden, is that you abided by all the rules and regulations and you didn't let any interlopers like Orly in.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you can appreciate, no doubt, in terms of the security issue with Joe Biden's visit. Yeah. Obviously, there were certain protocols, etc., you know?
Okay. Orly, do you want to hear Jamie's accent once more? Would you brace yourself?
Oh,
brace yourself.
If I have to, yeah.
Oh, talk yourself through it. Hey, Jamie.
There's these green fields, and there's us. Whatever that is, it holds me here.
At the green fields, Orly, and then there's us. And whatever that is, Orly, that holds me here. Don't be going off with that yank, the big John Hamm. From Mad Men. He's a ham of a man and a ham of an actor, Orla. Don't leave me for Brooklyn. Don't leave me for Manhattan. Oh, That's great fun. We need it. Okay, Alan Maloney. Well done, Alan Maloney. Mount Falcon. Billy Connor. Billy, are you ready now for once the lockdown ends? Are you ready for the deluge?
Yeah, we're ready, Joe. We're expecting lots of people here to call. And the busiest time we were with people, even before the movie, people was calling around by the house and seeing the place and that. Like, it has been a wonderful time for everybody.
And is it, anyway, by the way, is it a working farm?
Oh, it's a working farm,
Joe.
Well
done.
We've a dairy farm here. I live here with my wife, Deirdre, Liam, Rowan and Holly. And then my mother then lives next door, you know.
Isn't that fantastic? And a working farm. It was working farm when the lads were there, when the superstars were
Joe.
There.
Yeah, cows were meat. Cows were meat.
Fascinating.
Fascinating. You know?
I'd love it. Eamon Moore. Eamon's been on already. Where's Tommy gone? Where's Tommy O'Neill gone? He was up there a second ago from Fair City, the detective in Fair City. Is he gone? Are you gone on me, Tommy? I'll have to send out someone to look for him. Okay. All right, got to meet a mahal, got a Cree. A Cree.
Thanks, Joe.
And Eamon Moore. Is the pub open at the minute? Well, not at the minute, but will the pub be open? The Thatch Inn will be open again.
Hopefully, Joe, we had 15 days there when the lockdown finished there on the 21st of September.
How did that go for you, by the way?
That was very good. We, in the community that we are, we used to be famous, Joe, just for the floods in Cross Molina, but thank you to God, the Wild Mountain Time hopefully will bring a new lease of life to Cross Molina.
Great.
People are very good in the community.
So badly, badly needed for the whole country.
Very good support.
Eamon, Tommy O'Neill is there now. You all know him from Fair City, the detective in Fair City. Tommy, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
And you're in it as well.
Yeah, I play Christopher's brother.
And what accent did you use, Tommy? A homage.
I have an American accent in it. I know, look.
I know, come on, come back
because,
to me.
Yeah, because I've been living in America for like 40 years or something like that, so.
So they employed an American actor to do American actor to do Irish accent, and he played an Irish accent to do an Irish actor to do American. Yeah. And had you a big part, Tommy?
No, it's about 4 days in it, but look, I would have done it, you know, to work with Christopher Walken and Jamie and John.
They tell us about Christopher Walken. Everyone knows him, I suppose.
Christopher's lovely. Like, they had me in a different hotel before I got to Mount Falcon.
Right.
And the day I pulled up to Mount Falcon, I couldn't have done it better if I hadn't been on a set. I pulled up, got out of my car, was getting my bag, and I bumped smack into Christopher.
Ah.
So I shook his hand, but I hurt him because he said, oh, no, I've arthritis. Like, he's quite old now, you know?
Yeah.
But,
well, it's very, I'd say, they did well getting him to travel for a start.
They did, yeah.
I thought
he
was a very reluctant traveller. And tell me, who taught you your American accent, Tommy?
Myself, Joe.
Okay, well, do it for me there. What, can you remember any lines from the movie?
Oh, Joe, you put me on the spot there. who was it? I'm not really sure, John.
Okay.
But, like, if you could do with fixing the roof.
Okay. And by the way, when you read the script, is it supposed to be, like, have you heard the trailer, Tommy?
No, I haven't, but a lot of people are calling me.
Well, give Tommy another boost there, the trailer. Which bit is this? Jamie or Emily?
You take after Christopher John Kelly, Walker. And that man was mad as the full moon, drowned himself.
He fell in.
He had a rock tied to his neck.
That's Christopher. Christopher isn't bad, is he? He's not the worst of them.
I tell you, he sounds better than he did on the day, you know? No, but I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, honestly. Yeah. I just, it sounds a lot better, yeah. Because I was kind of going, I'm the Paddy and I'm speaking with an American accent and Christopher is the brother who's never left.
Okay. Tommy, well done. We heard Don Witcherly is in it. I don't know. Of course, all the actors wouldn't be on set at the same time. Sure you wouldn't.
No. Yeah. I was on set with Barry. That was the only other actor.
Oh, Barry Keoghan.
Barry McGovern.
Barry, who's in that scene where his head pops over the wall.
That's right. Yeah.
And was there a bit of crack?
Oh, it was. Yeah. And I tell you, the people in Mayo were amazing. They made us all feel so welcome, you know. Especially Billy Connors. I had great crack with Billy and his family. They were lovely, lovely people, you know.
Well, there you are, Billy. That's Tommy O'Neill saying hello to you there. And did you...
Well, thanks.
You didn't give a dig out milking any cows, Tommy, or...
No, but we were given some stick over the Dubs and Mayo playing.
Of course, yeah. That time of year. You know, time of year.
Which was the crack, you know?
Tommy, how are you doing at the minute? That's the most important thing. How are actors and filmmakers doing at the minute?
Well, I'm actually not doing anything at the moment, Joe, because I've had to take a back seat. I've got a bit of a health issue that I've kind of got to stay out of work now for the next 6 months or so.
Hopefully.
I'm kind of looking after that. But yeah, I think it's difficult. It's very difficult. I think it's difficult for everybody, not alone actors. You know, this is like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't think anybody knows what's going on, really, you know?
Okay, that's Tommy O'Neill. Tommy's based in Wexford, from y'all know him from Fair City. Eamon Moore, Billy Connor and Alan Maloney. Go to Míle Maith. The film is called Wild Mountain Thyme.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Rosemary Walsh wants to remind us of Brooklyn, that wonderful movie directed by John Crowley, Saoirse Ronan, in it written by the original book by the wonderful Colm Tobin. Filmed in Enniscorthy, Rosemary, which is where you're from, and you say the accents were brilliant.
Oh, yeah, sure. Saoirse Ronan was originally, I think she came from Carlow, so she wasn't that far away from us. But, oh, no, they put a huge effort into it, and there was a huge number of locals involved in it as well. And, it was completely... I was laughing at the portrayal of that you were portraying Jeremy Dornan.
Be gob and be garret.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, does Americans not realise Ireland has moved on?
Exactly.
Like we're not back in the 30s or whatever on going around in donkeys and carts with saying Begara and Begob and the luck of the Irish. I mean, we have moved on. So I mean, like the film, like Brooklyn was fantastic because I mean it was set.
Well, I see it was directed. Did it make a difference that it was directed by John Crowley, who's not just Irish but award winning?
Yeah, and as well as that, the author, Colm Tobin, is from Enniscorthy as well.
Of course,
he's from the town.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
Some of the places that he portrayed in the book were actually in the film, and it was fantastic. I mean, we had the cathedral in it, and we did up the Athenaeum, which was a well-known ballroom back in the day, which was falling down. That was all kind of done up
Brooklyn. The accents of Brooklyn got the thumbs up. Graham Nolan, stay there, Rosemary, please. Graham Nolan's in Dublin, Green Trees. Graham, you find the whole accent thing repulsive.
Yes. I just find it very difficult to listen to. So, I mean, I tried to watch whatever's the one with Tom Cruise in it, and I stuck it for about 10 minutes or so, probably less.
Far and away.
Oh, that's the one, yeah.
Which is far and away the worst Irish accent ever.
Maybe there's better to come.
Okay.
I've been Googling the one I was looking for. Apparently, the Murder She Wrote with Jessica Fletcher was called The Celtic Riddle. So how about that?
And was that full of Irish accents?
Well, yeah, as I was saying to the researcher there, it was full of Irish accents, but not real Irish accents, because apparently they brought in a lot of their sort of American crew. And so you got like the twee, you know, stage Irish accents.
Well, you see, but Graham, listening to Jamie Dornan in Wild Mountain Thyme, who's Irish, and listening to Christopher Walken, who's from the Bronx, I think, Brooklyn, the Bronx, and his mother's from Scotland, Rosalie, and his father was from Germany. But listening to some Irish actor once say, why are they bringing in American actors to do third rate Irish accents when they can bring in Irish actors to do second rate Irish accents?
Yes, that's true. Maybe they just put their names in the hat and no one knew which part they were going to get until.
But
they
of course,
the name
you know the argument, don't you? America audience. Tommy O'Neill is a brilliant actor, but for Tommy to play the role that he should have been playing, which is where Christopher Walken was played, who was playing the role that Tommy, you follow me?
I do, of course, yeah. No, I guess the thing that really sort of had me curious about the Murder, She Wrote episode was apparently they were challenged about, you know, employing local talent to fill these parts. And the defence was that they couldn't actually, you know, if they did that, that the American audience wouldn't actually understand real Irish people speaking with real Irish accents. So.
Okay. Paul Bourke, thanks, Graham.
Cheers.
Thanks, Rosemary. Paul Bourke. Arklow.
How are you doing, Joe? How are you?
Listened to the accents.
The first thing that hit my... I heard it first this morning on my local radio station.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to my mind was Mario Rosen start taking off Michael Flatley.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of straight away. I said, my God.
Begobbin, begara.
But I was actually just thinking, Joe, I remember a few years back with Mulder over EastEnders doing a scene here in Ireland, and I think it was done in Enniskerry, Ireland. And they had the streets all done like it was back in the olden times, and people were going around talking like that, Begara and Begolly and all that as well. I remember there was murder over it at the time. They were saying, like, this is whatever year it was done in. We weren't back in the time.
Yeah, I think it was Dunmore East?
No, that was a different one.
Wasn't someone meeting their first time or something?
Yeah, that was only recently. I'm going back about maybe 10 years ago. I think it was based in a story here in County Wicklow that it was done in. I think that it was done, and there was murder over that time because they had done the street, like, in that. As far as I can remember, they had sheep on the street and everything.
Yeah.
But do you remember years ago, John? You would remember... Remember the old black and white films, and the New York policeman was always an Irishman. He always said, "Oh, be genie, how are you going?"
Morphy, and that's
they're still in that era, aren't they? They haven't got away from it.
Martin Keenan is listen to Martin Keenan. Is there an Arklow accent, Paul? Arklow.
There is. You say Arklow, and how's it going?
and Van Morrison, who I mentioned earlier, he did a song called "The Streets of Arklow," didn't he?
That's right, yeah. Dustin done one, remember, about Borgo. But there's what do you call it, actually?
Didn't Dustin say that Arklow was number one on Kip Advisor?
Yeah, that's
Isn't
right.
That is famous.
He say that too, and him from Greystones.
Oh, is he? Yeah. It's Dustin the Turkey from Greystones.
But, okay. Joe, I've actually been asked in places, and I've been on holiday and that. Was I from Donegal?
The accent is from...
The accent, but then other people think Wexford because we're right on the border, like in Arklow or Wexford.
Did I have someone from Belfast there? About where is Martin Keenan there? Is he gone? Okay, Richard Nisbet. Richard, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
You were an extra in Brooklyn, the movie.
That's right. Yeah.
And what accent did you have to do, Richard? Your own.
Well, being an extra, you see, didn't have to speak.
Ah.
Otherwise, I would have had to pay a bit more money, like, you know.
Okay. So how long were you working on Brooklyn?
I was actually there for 3 days.
Good stuff.
And in Enniskerry.
And what did your scene? Who was in your scene?
It was set in a shop in the main street they had done up. And Saoirse Ronan was behind the counter. But what had happened was one of the directors came up to me and asked me would I do a scene on my own with her, not just standing around the background. So I had to buy a single cigarette at the counter.
Yeah.
And then I had somebody kneeling behind me with the coppers in their hand, because the trousers were so long I couldn't get my hand into the pockets to get the money. But then I noticed that all the cigarettes were all tipped, and I said to the guy, I said, sure, they didn't have tipped cigarettes like in them days.
Good man,
you know?
Well spotted, Richard.
Oh, Jesus, the next thing, they took the can out and they had to get a scissors.
Isn't that brilliant? People would spot that.
Yeah, they cut off, well, I was a smoker myself.
Yeah.
So they cut all the tips off, you see, and then we tried it again. And then I had to pay for the cigarette and go out the door, light a match. And there was a fella even walking up and down outside with a little ashtray so that it didn't throw it on the ground.
Oh, you couldn't deface beautiful Enniskerry.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, quaint.
Well, they had done up the street. They had done up the street like in the 1950s.
And
they'd taken everything. It was absolutely
perfect. People make a hobby out of spotting non-sequential pieces in a movie or Ballygown bottles on a shelf when it didn't exist in 1949.
When I was brought into the shop, it was so crowded with extras and the crew and all that, you see. Even the cameraman had to have it lifted onto his shoulder. They couldn't even have a tripod. But the funny thing was the matches wouldn't work either. They were all dead. They stopped again.
Yeah.
And then they had to send somebody off down to a shop to buy a box of mattress, you see.
Okay.
So with that, they called a halt. And I was talking to Saoirse for the show. She was asking me where I was from and all that. I lived down near a place called Kilmore Quay.
In Cork, yeah. Beautiful, yeah.
And it was very nice. And
other actress that I was delighted to meet was the girl. She was a North of Ireland actress. She was in that trilogy with many years ago about the North of Ireland. Bronan, I think, was her name. Bronan.
Bronan from Derry.
Yeah.
She's also a brilliant singer.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of her name now.
Is it Bronan that was in The Commitments?
No. Okay. This actress will be older.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter, because it was a fantastic experience. But the whole thing took nearly 2.5 hours before they filmed it. And if I just give you the last bit of it.
And when did you put your hand up and say, hang on a minute, lads, the cigarettes are wrong, period?
When I walked in and she had they were in a tin, and she, we were rehearsing, and she opened the tin, and I said, they're all tipped cigarettes.
Well spotted.
But everything in the shop, all the bread and the sausages and the rafters and everything, they were all totally genuine.
Isn't that brilliant? I love that stuff.
Even the bread, it smelled lovely, you know.
Richard, have you been to Canada, America? I know the second part are a lot of Brooklyn was obviously set in Brooklyn, but it was filmed in Montreal. But have you ever been to Canada or America?
I've been in Canada, I'd say, about 10 or 12 times over the years.
And what do they think of your accent, which is a gentle
sound? They can't understand it. They say, why haven't you got an Irish accent? You know, because they're so used, the Americans especially, what they were, I was down in...
We'll give them an Irish accent. This is Leonardo DiCaprio and Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you're angry with me.
No, I'm through with you.
Well, you're quicker than most fellas. Generally, they wait till afterwards.
Yeah, there wasn't more ruffling of petticoats in that now than accents.
Can I give you one last thing about the film?
Yes, so, please do, Brooklyn, yeah.
When it was shown in the cinema, I was obviously looking forward to seeing it, you know.
Yeah.
And my wife was with me. She's passed away since, but we went to see the film, and it was about the third scene at the very beginning of it. It lasted about 3 seconds. And the next thing was, I said, right, come on, love, we'll go now. She said, are we not going to watch the rest of the film? She said, for what? I'm not in it anymore.
And that was it. You were gone after 3 seconds.
Yeah. So of course, I stayed and watched the film with her, you know. I was only joking. But very good film. And I thought, when I saw the accent, but I didn't like the English, that the American fellow that fell in love with married her. I thought he was a terrible accent. I think he was trying to be like, you know, that other actor that was on the waterfront. What was his name?
Marlon Brando.
I thought he was trying to be a Marlon Brando. That's the end of it.
All right, Richard, good story. Thanks indeed. Regards to Enniscorthy. Hopefully Wexford will be open soon to not just wonderful Wexford people, but all the people who love that county. And Paul Bourke also, well, in County Wicklow, but only a few miles from the Wexford border. Where's the Michael Collins clip with Michael Collins, Julia Roberts, Liam Neeson, Aidan Quinn?
He's leaving me, Mick.
Yeah, I thought he was leaving me.
Shut up, the two of you. I'm leaving no one.
Is it true, Mick, all the women in America wear trousers?
Absolutely. Shameless hussies, the lot of them.
There you are now. And they gave out a bit of Julia Roberts' Irish accent as Kitty Keenan. Okay, 5151, watch out.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Oh, people are obsessed with this Wild Mountain Thyme. Trailer's only out. It's a new blockbuster from Hollywood, and it was made around Cross Malina and Nafan Mountain in Mayo. Made there last September, October. Lots of Irish people employed, we're told, on it, but the main actors are Christopher Walken, superstar American, Jamie Dornan, superstar from, is it Down? I think it is County Down. He's from, and I think he's actually from Hollywood, isn't he, so to speak, in County Down? Even though he's in Hollywood now, Emily Blunt is from England. But anyway, people are going mad over the accents. Christina Murphy. Christina.
Yeah,
you're from South Armagh.
I am indeed, yeah.
And you say your Jamie Dornan has no excuse.
No excuse, no. Well, I lived in Belfast, not far from where he's from, and not that I can do a very good typical Irish accent, but I don't think he's got much of an excuse.
And have you heard his accent in this piece?
Yeah, like, there's definitely worse out there, but I don't think it's very good.
And have you been abroad, Christina?
Yes, I live in New Zealand.
And do people know where your accent is from, so to speak?
I've been told I had a very soft accent, and I suppose because it's northern, they didn't pinpoint that it was Irish, like typical Irish accent. But I was saying the movies are to blame for that too.
And the movies are to blame for it.
I think so.
And there is a New Zealand accent, but they get annoyed when you say to anyone from New Zealand, if you even mention Australia, they get annoyed.
Yeah, that's true. I was having a job interview and I said that to them and it was probably a big mistake.
What did you say?
I said, oh, you sound just like an Australian.
Oh, good luck. Did you get the job?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, well done. Well done. Yeah. And what do the New Zealanders think of Ireland? Do they have that image that's in this movie of people with farms and donkeys and rehearsing marriage proposals to the local donkey and...
Yeah, like the 30s. Yeah, no, definitely the alcohol is a big thing as well. They're shocked whenever they say that I'm not a big drinker and things like that. But I met a Danish girl and she was shocked that we had cities and we drove cars and not all the men wore flat caps.
And what year was this, Christina?
This was only about 3-4 years ago. So I'm glad I got to educate her.
You met a Danish woman?
Yeah.
Who was shocked to hear that we had cities in Ireland?
Yeah, and that, like, not all the men were in pubs and women were in the kitchen sort of thing, you know, that whole really old stereotype, I suppose. Yeah, and she was my age too. Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It really was.
But anyway, what do you think of Jamie Dornan's accent then?
He's still gorgeous, but the accent's not very good.
Yeah. He's gorgeous until he opens his mouth.
That's it.
And did you see 49 Shades of Green or Grey?
I might have seen a bit of it. Yeah.
Okay. I just wondered what his accent was like.
Yeah, he's an American. It's actually grand. It's just a generic American movie kind of accent. But whenever he's trying to force that Irish accent, it just sounds a bit weird.
Okay, Trish Gordon. Listen to Trish Gordon, who's from Armagh. So are you, Christina, I see there. Trish, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
And you think... Tell me what you think about Jamie.
I think that it's not the poor fellow's fault because I was saying to the researcher that I think if you're born in Northern Ireland, I don't know what they do to your vocal cords, is it genetic or what, but I just don't think it's possible to wrap your tongue or your vocal cords around a Republic of Ireland accent. I'm here 38 years.
Yeah.
Surrounded by the most wonderfully spoken Republic of Ireland accents. It didn't happen. It's not going to happen.
And can you do an Irish accent, Trish?
I can do no accent, only this Armagh one that I was afflicted with.
Well, okay, listen, that's Christina and Trish. Listen to, have we Emily Blunt here? Listen to Emily Blunt and I want you to do Emily's accent for me when she's finished.
How many days do we have while the sun shines?
It's not shining.
I believe that it is.
Are you ready, Trish? How many days do we have while the sun shines?
I can do, how many days have we while the sun shines?
Oh, that's stressful.
That's it.
Christina, your Irish accent, please. How many days do we have while the sun shines?
It's hard not to do it in such a hurly-gurly accent.
But I want you to do an Emily Blunt doing...
What did she say again?
Well, listen to her again. Here she is.
How many days do we have while the sun shines?
Not shining.
I believe that it is.
How many days until we have the sunshine?
I believe that it is. Yeah, so we're all given.
There you go.
And Trish, have you come across this phenomenon before where people from Northern Ireland find it very difficult to do a so-called Southern Irish accent?
Oh, completely. And the best of them fall down on words like D-O-W-N, down.
Down.
I tell you, Joe, I was teaching. I came to the south of Ireland.
Yeah.
And I had to take dubs doing substitute teaching. First day, in a maths class, got everybody settled. Everybody had a ruler and a pen. And I said, will you draw a line? anything. And the heads went down and they were all working and they were taking ages. And I thought, okay, walked around the room.
Yeah.
And every single child, now if it had been one, I would have thought he was missing.
Okay.
Every child in that room was drawing the L-I-O-N from the jungle.
Yes, okay.
With a mane and whiskers and ears. And I thought, okay, this is me.
Okay.
I said, guys, what are you doing? What you told us, miss. We're drawing a line. And I went, no, I want you to draw a line. And they said, yeah, a line. We drew a line. And back and forth. So I had to write the word on the board. So I decided that I would alter my accent as best I could. And they just spent the time laughing at me.
Well, Trish, what I'm thinking of, did you see Paths to Freedom? It's on the RT Player. It was on 10 years ago where the two lads, Rats and Tomo, go to Belfast. They're from Dublin, from the flats in Dublin. And they can't understand a word what the taxi driver is saying. Not a word.
But and they can't. I left Armagh and went to Belfast to go to college.
Yeah.
And it was the era of the buses, let's say for various reasons, didn't run. And there were black taxis. I did not have a clue
what a black taxi what they were was. Saying.
And I only lived 25 miles away. My kids often were disgusted. Mom, do you have to?
Have to.
Yeah, because things would be going nicely. I would be buying something and I'd say, is it $29.99? And they used to just crawl up with embarrassment.
Okay, stay there, because more accents after this break. 5151, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
People, Trish Gordon, definitely. Yes. I think you've hit a chord here with people saying that there's no. it's very difficult to do the North Irish people. People from Northern Ireland find it very difficult to do the Republic of Ireland. Let me stay there for a sec because Anne McLaughlin was an extra in Brooklyn with Saoirse.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anne McLaughlin. I was in Brooklyn and I met Saoirse Ronan and I thought the movie was absolutely wonderful. And one lady now from, was it Rose was her name earlier on? She said, oh, we're moved on and we don't have those accents. I don't really agree with Rose because I think we should retain our Irish accent, our Irish identity for as long as we can. Because if you enter other countries, they certainly retain their accents. Like if you go into Germany, etc., they all have their accents.
But do you think it is difficult for... Trish thinks it's impossible for people from the north to do a southern accent. Now, this is the little clip. I'll play it from Paths to Freedom. This is Michael McElhattan and Peter MacDonald. They're two people who remember the TV series and their player. And they arrive in Belfast and they go to a taxi driver. Here they are. I might even hire it. That would help, Joe. Yes, that would help.
How much money is it to Cheltenham Crescent?
750.
What? How much money to Cheltenham Crescent?
750.
I'll deal with this. We're from Dublin in Ireland. How much money is it to Cheltenham Crescent?
Look, are you deaf, lads? I've told you, it's 750.
Okay, come here. Okay. Money.
I thought I covered 750.
Okay, he's getting this.
What is that?
And that. I'd say you get a lot of work,
that.
Do you?
I do all right, but he's a drugs boy, is that it? Huh?
And that's a wonderful Peter MacDonald and Michael MacLeod. It's fantastic. But anyway, that's an indication. Where's Richard Kinch? Richard.
How are you, Joe?
Back
are
to
you?
Jim Sheridan. I had to go. He's on at the start there. You say, did Jim make you a star, Richard?
He did, Joe, great, for about 10 minutes.
Great.
I was in Sheriff's Three Flats there walking and doing the big containers one morning. And this man came over to me, Jim Sheridan. I didn't know at the time, of course. And he approached me and he says, I want you to be in this film. I didn't even know what you were doing, Joe.
Okay.
There was trucks and vans all over the place. And he said to me, I want you to take part in this film, pulling this bin out and doing what you were doing. So Daniel Day-Lewis and Pete Pepplewaite was in
Oh, yeah, Pete Postlethwaite. Brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, lovely people. And I soon watched him, but I was seeing Star. I thought, this is it, Joe, you know what I mean? I said, this is the start of a new career for me. But do I have to say, Jim Sheridan was a lovely man now, you know.
He still is, yeah.
Very well.
And, extraordinarily talented.
Yeah. He was a lovely man. But I think.
And did you go back, Richard, after you went to the Oscars, did you go back then to work for the car pub?
Yeah, and I'm still there, Joe. It was lovely, Joe. They looked after me very well. Now,
And who did you play?
He just asked me to pull. There was a scene where Pete Pepperway and Daniel Day-Lewis had to do a walking scene by me, okay. And he wanted me to pull the container bin behind there, and I was pulling the bin. I had to do it a couple of times, Joe.
Because I remember that. That's been written up, that there was nobody that could pull a bin out of a container like Richard Kinch. Are you the Richard Kinch from Dublin 8?
Dublin 8, yeah.
That's true. You're legendary. That people used to go to the movie just to say, look at that. Look at the way he does it. And did you make it to the final court?
I'm watching it, Joe, yeah.
Brilliant.
So I'm in the scene there with two of them behind the two of them there in the early on in the film, you know.
Right, Pete Postlethwaite has passed, unfortunately.
He spoke to me briefly doing that. And, Daniel Day-Lewis, he spoke to me.
Did your agent get you any work after
that? No, it's all downhill after that, downhill.
Okay.
But I'm still here anyway.
Okay, well done, Richard. Richard Kinch.
Thank you, Joe.
Monica Morta was in Wild Mountain Time. Well, were you an extra or a stand-in?
I was a stand-in, Joe. Yes, I was a stand-in, yes.
And what does that mean, Monica?
A stand-in is where you work alongside the actors.
Yes.
We'll say if Emily Blunt was going to change her costume.
You're right.
Right. The photographers were there. I might have to stand in and do a scene she was doing.
Yeah.
It was all to do with camera and lighting. And Deborah Malloy, and that was it, Jack. It's all to do with the camera and the lighting.
And Monica,
lighting.
But Monica, were you Emily Blunt's body double?
Well, I'd be Deborah Malloy's. Maybe Emily Blunt one day and Deborah Malloy another day, yeah.
But did you have to...
Depending on, you know.
And did you have... were you dressed the same way as Emily Blunt was dressed for the scene?
Yes, I'd be dressed the same way as him, same colours, yes. Same colour and Deborah Malloy. I'd have to be the same colour as Deborah Malloy because Deborah Malloy is Emily Blunt's mother in it.
Oh, okay. Great. Another great actress.
Yeah, and she's absolutely brilliant.
And would you be in the movie, Monica?
No, I was a stand-in. I was actually there when they were filming everything. I was alongside them for about 2.5 weeks.
Well done.
Yes.
And what were they?
I was picked out of thousands of entries for this.
Absolutely, Monica. Well done. And it wasn't your agent that got you the job. It was your own ability that got you the part. And Monica, did you notice their accents?
Not really, no. I did notice with, say, Jamie Dornan, but I thought he was very good in it. And Christopher Walken. I was thinking if Christopher Walken kind of cut out the American accent a bit, it would be nicer. But at the same time, you wouldn't take much notice of it, no. Because we're listening to it every day.
And was it enjoyable, Monica?
It was very enjoyable, and every one of them were lovely to work with. Every one of them.
And did they have a rap party? Did you have a party?
Yes, they had a rap party, yes. We were at it, Jeff. It was brilliant.
And where was
we
that?
We had a dance with Jamie Dornan, yes.
Ah, you danced with Jamie?
Danced with Jamie Dornan,
yes. What's he like on his feet? I've only ever seen him on his back. What's he like on his feet?
He's brilliant. He's brilliant on his feet as well as on his back.
And he was
carrying the whip with him that night.
And what did you whisper into his ear, Jamie?
Have you got the whip with you tonight?
Oh, Monica, you're mortified. And what did you dance to? Do you remember...
The Galway Girl was on. And the play, The Wild Mountain Time. The Wild Mountain Time.
But
that came on a few times.
But it's not even an Irish song, is it?
But it was nice for the film. Do you know, because it's called Wild Mountain Time.
Did the rap party go on for 3 days and drink and debauchery and the crack?
The crack was on, yeah. The crack was
into
on
the
all
swimming
night, anyway.
Pool.
Into the early hours of the morning.
Oh, well done. And did... Was there a when you know the way you did a rap on the set for the last day, you know, and to say that's a wrap for Ireland or whatever.
That's
what was the reaction at the end of that?
That was brilliant. I got a standing ovation for that, actually.
Ah, Monica.
That was lovely. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I got a standing ovation and said they'd love to see me again. And they said, if I'm ever in America, to call to Hollywood.
To knock in, to knock in. Yeah. You're saying you were the body double for Emily Blunt and for Dervla.
Dervla Malloy more so, yeah, because she would have been, if we'll say on a day that Emily Blunt couldn't make it, they might just put me in the same clothes as Emily. Or Dervla Malloy, more so Dervla Malloy.
But what I mean is, would Emily or Dervla Malloy, Marja, be looking at you delivering their lines to Marja, Emily Blunt, or vice versa? Do you follow me?
Yeah, they would. You know what, they'd be going getting changed, you know what I mean? Yeah, getting costumes on for the next scene and all that.
Oh, they'd say you stand...
Go.
They'd say to you, you stand in that exact position that Emily is in now.
That's right. Or
Emily runs off. Or Dervla, okay.
Yes.
Okay, quick break, as we say in Hollywood.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
I wonder, was anyone standing in for Jamie Dornan in 40 Shades or whatever it was called? Dermot O'Dowd, an interesting point. Dermot, I see people are saying if it was portraying Mexicans as sleeping under a sombrero all day, people would get annoyed. So there's a serious side of it. But Dermot, your point, please.
Just basically that the tourist industry in Ireland markets these stereotypes to attract people to come to the country, so it's kind of inevitable that there are going to be consequences, you know, that people are going to that light.
If the world goes back to semi-normality next year and we have a deluge of American tourists, we can thank Wild Mountain Thyme, it looks
well,
like it.
There's a long list of them, isn't there, in the past, you know, from The Quiet Man, Darby O'Gill. There's a rake of them.
Sure is. And continuing. Una Hughes, you have 30 seconds. Balbriggan, your American cousins, what did they refuse to do?
Yeah, they refused to hire a car. They were coming here for a visit a few years ago.
Okay.
And I said, well, you'll hire a car. Yes. They were planning to go on a big trip. And they said, oh no, we couldn't drive on those roads. They thought we had really bad roads. And they had, they're educated people, they're university lecturers.
And they
had been to Ireland many years before. But they thought our roads, we're going to be the only Americans, the only tourists, travelling on buses and trains.
They wouldn't hire a car because they thought we were still in Boreans, and this is a few years ago.
Yeah, Boreans.
A couple of years ago,
potholes. Yeah. Okay. But, and they were in their late 70s.
Okay. And did they come and did they enjoy themselves?
Oh, they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did they hire a car?
No.
Okay.
They went on Shanksmere all over Ireland.
Maybe that's better. Okay. Thanks, Una. Thanks to all the callers. Mark Dwyer and Sound. Maeve Mooney was the BCO. Shanna Gorm, produced. Ray Darcy next.